We have talked about monarchy. We have talked about divination. And we talked about all the people you shouldn't listen to. And then we talk about the people that you should listen to. Talk about the tribe of Levi and their special mandate. So today we're going to talk about the polar opposite of what we discussed yesterday. Yesterday we talked about people who dabble in the occult and witchcraft, and that's where they get the direction from, and that's where they're able to chart their course of their life. Says the Torah, chapter 18, verse 14, Ki agoyim ha'ela, for these nations, asher ata yedish eisam, which you are going to be inheriting. Well, yedish really means kind of, you're going to empty their land out, and you are settling in. Yedish can also mean the terminology of being emptied. El hama'ayinim vel ha'kesmim. They seek their inspiration, their guidance, their wisdom from ma'inim and kesmim. We talked about this yesterday in great detail, different kinds of practitioners of the occult and witchcraft. So that's who they yishmu, that's who they listen to. However, the Torah now says, in sharp contrast, we're going to talk about the power of prophecy. And the power of prophecy, especially amongst the Jewish people, which is now going to be discussed. Be'ata, and you, uses Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo'ichein nasan l'cha Hashem l'kecha. That's now how Hashem placed things for you. Rashi says, what does it mean? Lo'ichein nasan l'cha Hashem l'kecha. Says Rashi, Hashem did not place you in a situation l'shmeya el hama'inin in v'la kesmim, to listen to these practitioners of occult and charmers and those who are involved in witchcraft. Sha'arei, because after all, Hashem set out a different path for you. He sent His presence upon the various prophets. So Hashem's presence rests upon the prophets and the Urim, the Tumim. It also rests upon the Choshen, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, which had inside it the parchment with the long-form tetragram. And Hashem would communicate to the Jewish people via the Kohen Gadol, via the Urim, the Tumim, right? That special breastplate and the powers that came along with it. So that's the way Hashem arranged things for you. He did not send you to the practitioners of the occult. You have a different mandate. So now we're going to talk about prophecy. That introduces today's lesson in sharp contrast to yesterday's lesson. Novi Mikir Becha. Verse 15, a prophet from amongst you, me'achecha, from your brothers, kamoini, like I, yakim lecha Hashem alikecha, the Lord God will establish, and a love tishma'un, it is to him that you should listen. Now this pasuk is rife with questions, because it says, Navi, a prophet, and it could have just said, Navi Yochim Lecha, a prophet Hashem will establish for you. Instead, Moshe Rabbeinu prophetically intones, Mikir Becha, from amongst you, Me'achecha, from your brothers, Kamoini, like me. Why are those three descriptive terms necessary? So Rashi says that Mikir Becha, Me'achecha, Kamoini, does not mean that the prophet in the future will have the level of prophecy or the level of intuition of Moshe Rabbeinu. It does not mean that. It's not reasonable to say. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest of prophets. And it also will say later on in this very book, Lekom Navi Eid B'Yisrael K'Moshe, that there never will be another prophet like Moshe. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu say something which is seemingly a contradiction of that, which he himself will say later? So Rashi explains, it does not mean a Moses-like prophet in the level of Moses. It means, Kemoi shani mikir becha, me'achecha, just as I am of your own stock. I am your from amongst you. I am your brother. Even if Moshe Rabbeinu had decades, he was away. But still, he is one of the members of Am Yisrael. I was a part of your people, not a foreigner who was parachuted in and given a responsibility, but rather somebody who came from the same background, hewn from the same source, mibikir b'cha, from amongst you. So that's the same situation that will happen again in the future. Yokim lecha tachtai. Hashem will establish a prophet who will take my place. V'chein minovi lenovi. And so it will be from prophet to prophet, and the Jewish people were led by great prophets for nearly 1,000 years or more after the passing of Moshe. And that's how things will be for Jewish people. Not witchcraft, not the occult, not diviners, but rather Nevi'im, prophets who Hashem speaks to. So Rashi kind of groups all three words together. Rashi says, it says, Me'achecha, Mikirbacha, Me'achecha Komaini, from amongst you, from your brother, like me. And Rashi says that all of this is like, it's literal, but it's euphemism. It's telling us that the prophet will have a similar kind of background to Moshe. He will not be a foreigner. He will be Mekirbacha, he will be Me'achecha. And on the level of Pshuta Shel Mikra, that I suppose satisfies the need. But it's interesting to note that Mekirbacha, from amongst you, according to the Sifri, is that once the land of Eretz Yisrael was selected, all prophecy takes place in Eretz Yisrael. It is true, Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecies begin in Arabia. It's true, Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecies continue in Egypt. It's true that the Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecies unfurl in the Sinai desert. None of that is Israel. But once you will come into Eretz Yisrael, all prophecy will take place only in the holy land of Eretz Yisrael. Ramban says that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to comfort the people and give them a little bit of security. And he says, you can trust the prophet in the future. He's amongst you. He's one of yours. A stranger you never trust. You never know if he really cares about you. You never know if he harbors some kind of maybe jealousy, or maybe he doesn't have your best interest at heart. Ramban says he's amongst you. So what's Kamoini? So Unkelus actually says Kamoini means like my level of prophecy, which of course is very problematic. How could it be Moshe Rabbeinu's level of prophecy? If it's Moshe Rabbeinu's level of prophecy, what Unkelus says, the words Kavasi, like me, then we have a problem. And Rashi actually says clearly not like that. But the Rave says something very interesting. He says, Kamoini means a Navi that Hashem sent who does not involve himself in any other form of spiritual practice. Moshe Rabbeinu was pure spirituality. There was the pure prophecy, pardon me, unadulterated. There was nothing else mixed in. So it is in the future. The prophet will be 100% prophet with a PH. And that prophet with a PH is 100%, no occult, no divination, nothing else. Ramban says, he will be trusted. He will be trusted like me. You will believe him. You will trust him the way you trusted me, which is the Ramban, the same way he said Bekir Becha. So he interprets Bekir Becha as from amongst you, you can trust him. Kamaini, you will trust him the way you trusted me. Because the Rabbeinu Bechaya says something very interesting. Mikir Becha, from amongst you, could perhaps be construed to mean somebody who comes from Yishmael or somebody who comes from Esav. Because they are, after all, families that come from amongst the Abrahamic tradition. And Esav comes from Yitzchak tradition. And the truth is that certain individuals who claim to be prophets, who took Judaism twisted and turned and pulled it beyond recognition and created faith systems. One claims the paternity of Esav, and one claims the paternity of Yishmael. Whether that's true or not is another story. But I use paternity loosely. The point is, one is the Edomite tradition, Roman tradition, and one is the Arabian tradition, the Ishmaelite tradition. And Moshe Rabbeinu says that's not happening. It's going to be three times he says, Me'achecha, Mikirbecha, from amongst you. No, don't think I mean that, he says. I mean Me'achecha, from your actual brothers. Komoini, just like me. A Jew 100%? Oh, yes, just like me. So that's who we're talking about over here. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is ruling out, any possible kinds of deviations from the path that he sets up for the Jewish people. Verse 16 is quite fascinating. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Kichol asher sha'alta mi'im Hashem elikecha," like everything you asked from Hashem your God, the Chayiv. Chayiv, of course, is a reference to Mount Sinai. The Yom HaKohol, on the day of congregation, which is an interesting way that Har Sinai is referred to in Parshas Veschanan and Parshas Ei, multiple times Moshe Rabbeinu refers to the events at Sinai as Yom HaKohol. It's not, this terminology does not appear before Chumash Bamidbar. The Chumash Bamidbar, Yom HaKohol, the day of congregation, like Yom HaKohol. Lamer to say, Le'esif l'shmaya eskoy l'Hashem l'koy. You said then, we cannot listen to God's voice. The Esa'esh HaGdela Azeis, this incredible fire, this intensity of the fire, Le'era Oid V'le'amos. You will not see again, and you will not die. So when you read this verse on the surface, it sounds, and Rashi doesn't even say anything. It sounds like Hashem is saying, there won't be another Mount Sinai. God will never speak to everybody face to face. There will never again be mass revelation, but rather there will be a single prophet. But why does this come in now? Why does he emphasize this now?
A single prophet, that there are thousands.
Well, the point is not a single or two or three. The point is individuals rather than mass. So Ramban says something gewaldic. He says, when you said to Hashem those words, you asked, you said, please, we cannot listen to the voice of Hashem. Instead, speak to Mesha, and we will believe him. From that point and on, you accepted upon yourself to believe in what the Navi will say. This was your idea, he says. You accepted it. Just like you said, you would accept what I said, that I'm a prophet. Komaini. Komaini means like me. And Komaini means just like you accepted what I said, because it was your idea. You came up with this. So too, the same thing will be Komaini, that you will do that in the future. The Or HaChaim develops this much further. And he says, Meish Rabbeinu said to the Yidden, my netayre kindalach, you caused this. Had you been ready to listen to Hashem speak all HaSeres HaDibreis, then prophecy would have been an ongoing reality for the masses, at least until the end of prophecy. But you didn't want that. You said, no, we can't hear this. You said, let God speak to you. And once he speaks to you, we'll listen in. Says the Rechaim, that's the problem. Moshe Rabbeinu said, do you know why you're not going to be able to have that elevated state of consciousness? Do you know why you're not going to be able to know God on an individual level or know the future? Because you asked that Hashem should speak to me. You said, no, we don't want him to speak to us. Because you said we don't want him to speak to us, so that's why he said, okay, as you wish. And you said, that's why Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, so it will be Tamid. You wanted it to come through me, says Moshe? Kamayni. Same thing. This is going to be repeated. So then it will happen again in the future. And that's how we understand this business of Moshe Rabbeinu introducing Har Sinai and the request the Jewish people made and the great fire and the response that God said to them. Why? Because we asked for it. Be careful what you ask for. That's the bottom line. Careful what you ask for, says Moshe.
What?
Yeah, it was. In unanimity, the Jewish people said this. Vayomer Hashem Eloi, and even if not, my friend, whatever the majority wants, that's what ends up happening. Vayomer Hashem Eloi, Hashem said, Hey Tivu, Asher Dibeinu. Okay. All right. That's what you want. The way the Or HaChaim explains this, we understand it very well. Hey Tivu, Asher Dibeinu. They want a prophet. Okay. You get a prophet. And what is Hetivu Asher Dibeinu? Navi Akim Lohem Mikerav Achayim. I will set up a prophet amongst the brothers. And the prophet will become Eicha, just like you. What does it mean? Now we know what just like you means. Just like you, that the Jewish people didn't want to all speak to Hashem. Instead, what did Hashem say? I wanted to speak to everybody. The Jewish people said, no. Don't speak to everybody instead. Speak to Moshe. And if you remember, Moshe Rabbeinu at the time felt an enormous weakness overcame him. He said, Hitashta Moshe, you weakened me. From who is better to hear? From Hashem himself or from somebody in between? But that's what you wanted. Okay. So because that's what you wanted, Navi Akim Lohem Mikerev Achayim. I will establish for the future the same. They will have a Navi, they will have a prophet. That will be from amongst you. See, that's the emphasis here. The same thing. Mikerev Achayim. Komoicha. From amongst their brothers. Just like you. It's exactly what you asked for. That's what Moshe said. Mikirbacha, Me'achecha, Komoini. Here he emphasizes. Mikerev. From amongst you, just like I was. V'nosati dvarei b'fiv, I will place my words in his mouth. V'diber aleihem eis kol asher atzavenu. You will speak to them all the things that I command you. Tellingly, there's no Rashi here. No Rashi. Because this is all very straightforward now. Once we have the basic matrix in place, all these verses follow the same idea. V'hoyo ho'ish asher lo yishma. Now, after Hashem has established the gold standard, For the Jewish people, that means no divination, no hanky-panky, no false pseudo-spirituality. Straight with the Bnei Shalom, only with God. And there's a lot of scary stuff out there. I still get attacked for this. There was a certain person who wrote a book about how they dealt with tragedy, and they talk about a lot of tragedy in very many difficult times. And a major chapter of the book is how they went to one of these diviners and spoke to the deceased relatives. And they wanted to come speak here. I said, you're not speaking here. How could you speak here and sell your book when your book... The other rabbis let me. I said, okay, that's their problem, not mine. I said, you look at the Torah. It's absolutely prohibited. If you had a book that said you found faith in Jesus, would that be okay? No, because that's not what we believe in. You went and found your faith. You found your comfort in something. Till today, I get persecuted for this. Really? Yeah, unbelievable. People left the show because of this. I wouldn't let her speak. Yeah. Okay. How could I? You see what the Eibishter says? It's very unequivocal. It's very clear. We have one path. That's the path of Torah, the path of prophecy, the path of Ruach HaKodesh, the path of our sages. That's it. That's our path, my friends. There is no other path. We don't find comfort or guidance or clarity anywhere else. And somebody who does is doing something distinctly un-Jewish. That's just the way it is.
What about like Tasmans and...
We don't do any of that stuff. No Tasmans, no Hamdas, no Shmamdas, nothing. No. Torah mitzvahs.
Rabbi Dalek's?
A chayfis, an object of a tzaddik, is imbued with a certain energy because a tzaddik, when a tzaddik uses something, so it's special because the tzaddik elevates the physicality. It's not different than if you had a chumash that was used every single day for 300, 400 years. It'd be more special than a chumash that's pulled off the shelf yesterday. Why? It's a chumash that's full of kedusha. So much holiness was done with this. A tzaddik accomplishes in 30 seconds what the regular yidn accomplished maybe in 300 years. So therefore, it's a chayfetz that people value. I have a shofar that's been blown consecutively for over a century. It's a very hard shofar to blow. It's given to me. One of the chachamim in Libya used to blow it. Somebody in the neighborhood said, I don't know what to do with it. My great-grandfather was a rabbi. He got it from his father and godfather. He says, at least you blow it. He says, it's special to blow it. It's special that the Jews have been blowing this for over a century. It's special. I don't worship the shofar. If a tzaddik would touch the shofar, to me, that would be more worth than a regular yid blowing it for 100 years. That's not the point. You don't worship this. You don't find clarity there. It's not a chayfetz of kedusha, an object of holiness. It elevates us. Brings us closer to Hashem. Anyway, back to the prophecy. Back to the prophecy. V'hoya ha'ish asher li'yishma el devarai. The person who will not listen to my words. Who won't listen to the prophet. The my words are sheyidaber bishmi. I mean, the words that the prophet will speak in my name. Anoichi edreish me'imoi. I will be on his case. I will demand an exact payment. V'hoya isha shalei shameya. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that the loy shameya, the not listening, could happen in one of three ways. Number one, you or I hear a prophet and chas v'shalom decide not to listen. Violate the words of the prophet. Number two, a prophet gets prophecy. It doesn't mean Hashem took away his bechira. He could get prophecy. He still has freedom of choice. And he chooses wrongly. And it's not for us to judge him because maybe he's terrified. Maybe he is facing enormous opposition. But the prophet decides not to tell anybody the prophecy he got. Because everybody will laugh him and they will mock him. And everybody will denigrate him. And they might even hurt him. And unfortunately, we killed some of our prophets. Some of our prophets we threw in jail. And Zechariah, we brutally murdered, we lynched him. So the prophet had to have a lot of Mesidas Nefesh to go ahead and say what the Eibishter told him to say, because, you know, the people might not be interested in what the Eibishter has to say. So that's also a loy shemeya. It doesn't matter. It's not about him. It's not a personal thing. It's my prophecy. I don't have to listen to it. I don't have to tell anybody. Hey, buddy, this is the Eibishter. This is God's prophecy. So if God gave you a prophecy, that's your responsibility now. If I'm not a prophet, I have to listen to the prophet. If I am a prophet, I have to speak the prophecy. And the third thing is, the prophet himself would violate his own words because he was told something very difficult, very challenging. I'm not judging him. It's just wrong. Maybe you or I in the same shoes would do worse. That could be. But objectively speaking, it's the wrong thing. So that's three possibilities of Ashalo Yishma. What happens to this fellow, Ashalo Yishma? So we don't know. We don't know what means Anechi Edesh Me'ima until we read the next verse, which actually takes us in a different direction. The next verse talks about a false prophet. And the false prophet will have the gall, the chutzpah, the insolence to speak in my name that which I didn't tell him to say. And then it says, v'meis hanaviyahu, that prophet will die. So Rashi tells us that the punishment of v'meis hanaviyahu, this is all, this is what he means, anechi edresh me'imai. That's the meaning of I will demand, I will exact payment. Anechi edresh me'imai means, this is that concept of misim. The concept of a mason of Yahu, that the prophet will die. So let's take a look in the Biurim book. The Rebbe here quotes the words of that Rashi on Pasuk Chaf, which we did not learn in entirety. And he says, Ha'ayver al divrei Navi, page of Eish Lamed, Simon Tes, Ha'ayver al divrei Navi, the one who violates the words of the Navi, quoting Rashi, Misosan bidei Shamayim, they will die prematurely. This is not prosecuted by a court. Rabbeinu Shalom, Almighty God Himself, will ensure it. He has His ways. Shanemar, as it is written, Anoichi Edreish Me'imai. I will exact payment. This will not go unnoticed. So, in other words, if you don't listen to a prophet, what happens? You die. That's pretty clear.
The person who doesn't listen to
There's three possibilities here, but let's talk about the person who doesn't listen to a prophet. The person who doesn't listen to a prophet, what happens? What's the consequence? Death. That's the consequence. The Rebbe says, really? Yesh l'tmoya. This gives us pause and reason to express astonishment. A Jew violates something the Torah says, clearly, he eats shellfish. You're not allowed to eat shellfish. You know that? The Torah says you're not allowed to eat shellfish. He eats pork. He eats milk and meat. He's not allowed to do these things. What happens? What happens if you have a cheeseburger? Make it a kosher cheeseburger with kosher meat and kosher cheese, so it's a real violation of cheeseburger. What happens then?
You don't die.
You die? I mean, if you eat enough of it, you die anyway, but that's not the point. It doesn't say you die. Any nenesh behechrich ba'inish kechomer, you know, there's no death meted out. Ela ha'inish nikva al pichumras ha'aveda. There are worse sins, venial sins in different parlance, and then there are wider sins. There are sins which are in more intense, more egregious, and sins which are, you know, shouldn't do it. It's not nice. And the question here is, not all sins have a capital punishment attached to it. Whether it's meted out by the courts, or whether Hashem himself says, I will demand, I will exact payment, this person will die prematurely. Madua Efe, why then? Magia Einishe Kozeh, such an intense, harsh consequence. What did the person do? He was Oyver al-Divrei Navi. Oyver al-Divrei Navi is one of 365 negative mitzvahs, one of the Tayag mitzvahs. So why is this mitzvah so different than all the other mitzvahs? What if the Navi told you, you should stand on your head tomorrow for an hour? It could be. The Navi told you to do something small. The Navi said, show up here. Wait for me. Incidentally, that happened. Shmuel HaNavi told Shaul, wait for me. Shaul HaMelech didn't. Shmuel said, you're in big trouble, dude. Ata Hiskalta, you were foolish. You did your own thing. You're not going to make it. He didn't listen to a Navi. What did the Navi say? He told him, he talked about Yom Kippur, he talked about some kind of major. No, he said, just wait for me. Don't bring the Karbanot till I come. It says right here. You don't listen to the Navi? Ashallah Yishma, Anachi Edrash. He says, why? Why is this sin such an egregious sin that it somehow is darker and more damaging than all of the other sins in the Torah? Although it's most of the other sins. It would seem that we should listen to first. God or a prophet? I understand the prophet speaks in God's name, but we should listen to first. God and the Torah, there's God, the Torah, the prophet told you something which is temporary, something for today. He said, wait for me today. It's not every day. And this is a binding mitzvah, enduring, continuous, every day.
You could say Moshe is a Navi and he tells us to keep the mitzvahs, so.
But we don't say that. We don't say Moshe is a Navi, and therefore, if you don't listen to Moshe, it's not mitzvah. We don't say Baruch Ata Moshe Shetzivanu. We don't say that. She'asher Kedishanu, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Ata Hashem. Ha'ezber lekach. This is a very powerful and important explanation I'm now going to receive. This is what you call a yesoid. The Rebbe established a foundation in Yiddishkeit. The Hezber, the explanation is, shebebechinim misuyemes. From a certain perspective, from a certain dimension, ha'foras divrei navi, to violate, to abrogate the words of a prophet, he ochein chamura yoiser, is indeed more stringent, more egregious, more hurtful, more so than havara al chukei ha'Torah, even more so than violating an actual sin, an actual statute of the Torah. How so? Hanavuah mugderes al yedei ha'Rambam. When the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva wants to talk about prophecy, about the importance of prophecy, about the importance of listening to the prophet, the Rambam says, you listening? That this is kemada shamagia mehabeira lulev bnei ha'adam. That this is knowledge, information that arrives from the Creator in the heart of a person. It's a direct deposit. It's a WhatsApp message in the heart. A download. You don't have to go online. You know, sometimes your computer is like, I'm talking to you about computers. It's like set. So in the middle of the night when everybody's sleeping, that's when all of a sudden the download comes. How do I know? Because sometimes I was working and it started. That wasn't good. So that's when the computer downloads the software. That's when it gets the patches, the updates. This is a direct email that came Lelev Bnei Ha'adam. It came, Hashem sent a message into a Yid's heart. Not every Yid. A very special Yid. But the message from it into our heart. And the truth is, the Rebbe says, it's more so. It's not just about the special Yid. It actually is a direct message from God. It actually is a Facebook message, a private message. Because when Hashem sends the Navi, and the Navi brings you a message, who is it coming from? Let's say the Navi is your phone, your computer. The Navi is just a mechanism. He's just the convention through which the message is coming. So in other words, when you get a prophecy, when you get a message from Hashem, what are you getting? A direct SMS. This is a direct WhatsApp. It's to you. Sometimes it could be to a group. That's fine. The group may be the Jewish people. Sometimes you have these WhatsApp groups. But when that message comes to the group, it's intended for the group. Zeis benigud l'teira. This is very different than the teira. Shabbat HaKadosh Baruch Hu megala omna mesetzeni l'bnei Adam. Hashem in this teira reveals his will to the Jewish people. The teira is a picture of what the world is supposed to look like. What should our existence, what should it look like? What should it be like? I'll tell you what it should be like. It should be like this. That all the Yidden are coming to learn Torah in the morning. And then they're davening in the morning. And then they're eating kosher food. And then they're behaving in a way which is business, has business ethics and morality and decency. And then they're treating each other kindly and favorably. And wherever they go, they're sharing words of Torah and inspiration and God consciousness. Be he Jew or Gentile, with every person they encounter becomes a teachable moment, a moment in which they are able to elevate and rarefy and redirect their environment. That's what the world is supposed to look like. How do I know what the world is supposed to look like? Because the Torah tells me. The Torah tells me, here's the perfect picture of a world. That's meaning the Beis HaMikdash is a Dira B'tachtonim, because in the Beis HaMikdash, everything went exactly as Hashem wanted it to be. The Kohenim didn't miss a beat. Zrizim Hem. They were very, very diligent, very swift. So that's a perfect reality. What's the world supposed to look like? It's like a nursery school teacher who follows code. And you walk in and that room is set up exactly as it should. There's so many and so many dolls for so many and so many girls and so many castles and so many fire trucks and so many boys. And there's the drama center and the other center. And it's exactly the space. It's down to the footage. And the inspector comes in and looks to find something wrong and says, I can't find anything. Everything's exactly as it should be. The Torah is the code. That's your book. That's your code. Do you follow code? So code's telling you where Hashem wants the world to be. It's not God coming. It's not the ECE teacher who gets a message from the minister of education of the province or maybe the whole country. He says, I want you to teach the children A, B, and C. Well, that's a personal request. The prime minister called to ask that since he's visiting the school in 2 hours, he wants the children to learn this song because he wants when the cameras come in, that's what they should be singing because he's running for re-election the day he was elected, so therefore this should look good and the children should sing this song. So if you care about the prime minister and you like him, you say, well, if you ask me a personal request, I'm going to go ahead and fill his request. But that's different than code, because code is code. Code is what nursery classes are supposed to look like. This is a personal request of what you should be doing now. In other words, what's more personal? When you open the Torah, or when a prophet comes to you and says, Bubula, here's a message from God. What's more personal? Obviously the latter. And so the Rebbe explains that, from that dimension, from that perspective, the Nevuah is indeed more profound. And violating it is indeed more egregious. V'lachain. Yisha'adam shemeh atzivim mipiyan navi. You heard a command. You heard an instruction. You heard it from the mouth of the Navi. That's the whole point of all these verses. If you hear it from a Navi, you really heard it from God. God speaks through his Navi. You heard it from God through the Navi. He said, all right. So he said, so what? Whatever it was, wait for me here. Doesn't matter. But you just got a direct message from God. And God said, do X, Y, Z. And you said, eh. Medafnished. I don't have to listen to God today. It doesn't have to be exactly like he wants. It just begins made it b'malchus. Then you are mamasher. This is outright rebellion, mutiny, sedition against Hashem. You're leading a revolt. Hashem said A, and you said no, B. So what happens? What's the halacha of made it b'malchus? What happens when a person rebels against the king? It's a halacha and teira. What happens if you rebel against a king of flesh and blood? Forget the king of all kings.
Off of his head.
Dini b'misa. Is that it? That's the pshat. You violate the nevuah. It's over.
Is every word the Navi speaks
prophecy? Every word the Navi speaks prophecy? No, not necessarily. You think when the Navi tells his wife, do me a favor, pick up a dozen eggs, it's a prophecy? No. It means...
wait for me, prophecy?
When he tells him in Hashem's name. So he tells him in Hashem's name. The Navi, not every word the Navi says is prophecy. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, not every word he said was prophecy until the Chumash Devarim, when the sermon that he gave was all prophecy. But the private conversations you have are not necessarily prophecy. It's true that even the mundane and ordinary speech of a sage needs to be analyzed because the sage invests so much in every single nuance, every detail of life. But to say it's prophecy, no. But when the Navi speaks to you prophecy, you'll know. He knows. He knows when it's prophecy. You know what happened when a Navi got a Nevuah? Systems crashed. The Navi would whack out. He would lose it. Sometimes the Navi would disrobe. He would act like a lunatic. And one time in Tanakh, the Navi showed up and they said, oh my gosh, it's a love of Baal, Meshuga Hazais. What does this lunatic want from us? Because it's just like a full-on download that this just crashed the system. But so when the Navi comes to you and he brings you a Nevuah, that's like, Mamash, Hashem just told you to do something. And you told Hashem, I should, nah, it's okay. It's okay. That's Meirid B'malchus. Meirid B'malchus? Let's finish on a positive note because you're supposed to always do a Dover Toiv. So from this we understand two things. Number one, that when there's Nevuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually loves Am Yisrael. The point of this whole thing is not that he doesn't love us. He says, I don't want you to do this divination stuff. I want to keep you in the dark. Hashem loves us. He wants to speak to us directly. That's why he sends a Navi. A Navi does not mean Hashem is not speaking to us. On the contrary, that's out of Hashem's love. And we have to understand that the words of the Nevuah are a direct request that comes straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when we fulfill it, we actually are fulfilling a mitzvah, and even more so, we're nurturing a profound sense of respect and cultivating a deep relationship with Hashem. Why? Because you say, and we listen.